Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's a great joy to be with you on this Monday, August the 26th, 2019. I do want to remind you of our upcoming revival meeting in Hickory, North Carolina, at the Hickory Metro Convention Center. We're anticipating a tremendous move of God, and I believe in God to touch your heart and your life. The theme for April of 2020 will be Power Failure in the Church. Power Failure in the Church. And then also we're looking at Rome, Georgia in 2020 of October at the City Auditorium. We went down and looked at the facilities. It's a great location, a great place. I think it'd be very advantageous for us. And then hopefully, as we proceed, we'll do more of these meetings. I've got people wanting me to come to Texas, so we may consider coming to Texas at the Grapevine Marriott. And hopefully we can have a great, great turnout there for a revival meeting in Dallas, Texas. God is moving, but I'm concerned about the spiritual temperature of America and where America is in relationship to God. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Regretfully, as Paul said in Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Yet Solomon said in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's no greater disposition than a foolishness. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools make a mock at sin. People think sin is funny. Sin is evil. Sin is grotesque. Sin harms every one of us. Before we get back into the series today, The Depravity of Man, I also want to encourage you to get your DVD series of the revival meeting we had at Hickory back in April, Age of Deception Conference Meeting. It was a tremendous time, an anointed time. I think you'll find the DVDs very, very edifying and touching your heart and touching your life. Amen. Before we go into the program today, I want to play a song by Lee Williams and the Spiritual QCs. I love black music. Black music has so much soul in it. And we all have a soul. But they seem to have a connection that others sometimes just don't have. But listen, they do a great, great job on this song entitled, Oh, I Want to See Him.
Y'all come on, put your hands together. Many arrows pierce my soul.
I pray today that is your prayer, that you too want to see Jesus Christ face to face. Oh, I want to see him. We've been teaching on the depravity of man. I know that many today don't want to think. They don't want to perceive that they are utterly, completely, totally depraved. I remember John McCain, when a lady challenged him in one of his town hall meetings that Obama was a Muslim. He said, "He's a good man," and took the mic back from her. The truth is, every one of us, without Christ, we are utterly, totally depraved. We may not believe that. We certainly don't want to think that of ourselves. But the truth is, man is utterly depraved without God. He is a beast. He is an animal. He is vicious. He is ruthless. He's untiring in his evil. Why? That is the animosity. That is the hostilities that is in the loins of every fallen human being. The older I get, the more I think about sin and how sin is so heinous and how that sin has touched every facet of not only our lives, but of the entirety of the world. The debasedness, the debauchery. Sin has contaminated every one of us. Even the undeveloped mind of an infant child is hostile or possesses enmity against God, even though they are unaware of that spirit and of that nature as an infant. A wolf and a leopard will sleep. However, both are very dangerous when they are awake, and so is man. The mind is an amazing organism concerning memory. The mind can retain so many things that's unfathomable to comprehend. The ability to store events, circumstance, situations. Even someone like myself, who through the years have memorized a plethora of scriptures, and just in a matter of nanoseconds, able to recall a verse, a passage in just a moment of time. Yet, we don't use the mind in the manner that it should be used. One can recall to one's mind foolish, evil jokes, foolish, sinful songs and tunes. However, we struggle to retain scriptures. We struggle to retain spiritual songs. We struggle to retain spirit-filled sermons and messages. Today, man is idolized and worshipped, while God is forgotten. Romans 1:25 says, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator." Man is forever manipulating the scriptures. I loathe, I despise, I have utter contempt for the politicians who would dare use Bible around the circumstances and the events that are transpiring in Washington, D.C. Some time ago, Nancy Pelosi alluded to in the Gospel of Luke how the Good Samaritan. The reason I loathe and despise that is because they do have animosity and hostilities toward God. She's all for murdering a baby anytime a woman wants to murder her or child. They're all for same-sex marriage. They're all for the Equality Act. But these things are not normal. These things demonstrate the animosity, the hostility toward a living God. You may not believe me, and I'm going to say it again. Man is utterly and totally opposed to God, and man is hostile toward God, and man is completely depraved of God. His depravity is off the charts, especially in this hour. The perversions that are taking place, and yet people don't seem to see anything wrong with it. Changing all the pronouns of he and him and she and her. Gender neutral. There's no such thing as gender neutral. You're either a male or a female. God didn't make them any other way. You go back to the book of Genesis and look at creation. But it's man's depravity that he begins to say, he begins to do these things. I marvel, I'm amazed at how a man wants to be a woman and a woman wants to be a man. When God ordained that naturally, and when a man is a man, his desire should be to have a wife, a woman, and a woman should desire to have a husband and a man. It's very simple. Why then is it when they get together, two women, one plays the role of the man? Why is it when two men get together, one plays the role of the wife? But a judge, running for president, he calls his male lover his husband. Well, Pete, he's playing the role of the woman then. That's my husband. Yet God, in his sovereignty, understood man. He said it's not good that man should be alone. So he gave him a helpmate. And he made a woman. Now man comes along and wants to pervert what God has ordained and God has established. I'm amazed at how they want to get married when marriage was ordained of God. Marriage is not something that man created. Marriage is a divine institution. Marriage is not just some kind of document where you sign a marriage certificate and you get married. It is a divine institution. People today will argue, your Joy Osteens, well, you know, God loves you just like you are. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband. How plain is that? Let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. It doesn't say let every man have his own man and let every woman have her own woman. No. No. Husband, wife, wife, husband. Male, female, female, male. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. God doesn't judge married people. Whoremongers and adulterers, God says he will judge. Is it amazing when a man and a woman is married, there's no sin in their sexual relationship. There is no evil in that. None. He said the bed is undefiled. Marriage is honorable in all. Yet when men or women are removed from the confines of heterosexuality, the bed is defiled. The bed is gross. The bed is depraved. The bed is wicked. The bed is sinful. Very sinful. Today, most sermons, most messages concerning the depravity of man are opposed. When I preach what I'm preaching as today, I receive opposition from both inside the so-called church and outside the so-called church. Why? They don't like the fierceness. They don't want to possess godly fear. They don't want to embrace the correction that the Word of God brings. They don't want that. So there are those inside the church, and these preachers, they're still mere novices. They have no idea of the Word of God. They are soothsayers in their presentation to seduce the people. They lure the people by sleight of hand, cunningness, craftiness, deception, duplicity. They're constantly doing those things to manipulate and deceive the true saints of God. You stay in that harlot, whorish church, you begin to embrace and believe the same damnable lies and heresies that they are purveyors of. You can't sit there and not be evilly affected. You will be evilly affected. Sin will affect you negatively if you sit there and you embrace that. We're told in 1 Corinthians 14:10, there are, and it may be so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. Every voice that one hears, it bears a role in your thinking, your thought process. Adolf Hitler said while in prison, he understood the profundity of propaganda. Propaganda. All of your news media outlets, for the most part, are nothing but purveyors of propaganda. They play on semantics. They play on semantics. Just like Cortez, they're drinking out of toilets. It's not true. It's not true. Feigning brokenness, tears, and sorrow because of these purported detention camps, and related them as to Dachau and Auschwitz in Germany in World War II, where they gassed, cremated millions of Jews and others. I was reading the other day in Wikipedia and how that the Democrat Socialist, this spirit has been around for years. Did you know Hitler and Himmler killed those people, put them in concentration camps, and had them gassed? Look it up. Democrat Socialist. See, that shows you the origin comes from Satan. That shows you its birth. That shows you its conception. It's of Satan himself. There was no more evil man than Adolf Hitler, his right-hand man, Himmler. Himmler made the statement. He said, if Hitler wanted me to kill my mother, I would have killed her with joy. I would have been excited to have done that for him. Some believe that Hitler and Himmler were homosexuals. I don't know. Read your history. But think about what I just said. Hitler put the Democratic Socialist in concentration camps. And then these deceptive, duplicitous Congress representatives, congressional representatives, feign moral outrage because of thus and thus and thus. These are children. Elijah Cummings, blowing up, blistering up, bubbling up. Children in their feces. Hey, Cummings, you're all for murdering them. A child is a child, whether it's 8 months old, still in the womb, or 8 months old, out of the womb. You see the hypocrisy? Damnable hypocrisy. Two more fold the child of hell. I used to wonder, you've heard me say this, I used to wonder why God did not destroy people like Tip O'Neill. Some of you too young to hear that, to understand who he was. He was once Speaker of the House under the Reagan administration. I used to wonder, God, why do you let these people buy? Why do you let them do the ungodly, wicked things that you do? Well, now that I'm nearly 65 years of age, I understand. Life is so short. The brevity of life is so compact. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. David said in Psalms 89, we spend our years as a tale that is told, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We spend our years as a tale that is told. I said 89, it's Psalms 90 and 9. We spend our years as a tale that is told, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You say, well, I've got 20 more years of life. 20 more years of life. Well, you got 7,300 days. Don't sound like much, does it? You only started out with about 25,550 days when you were born. 50 years seems like a long time. Seems like a long time. It's only about 18,000 days. Short, isn't it? Now I understand why God is not in a hurry to cast these people into hell, because they only have but a short time. It's a very short time. The span is very, very, very short. Why is it people don't want to ever hear anything about the truth? People had rather believe a lie than the truth. It's been said that some would rather climb a tree to tell a lie than stand on the ground to tell the truth. I never fail to be amazed at how easily people are angered because of truth. When told they are corrupt, when told their hearts are evil, when told their thoughts are evil, they become incensed. They become angry and hostile. Therefore, they fulfill Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be so. Then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, if I had to sit before one of those judicial congressional committees in a hearing, I couldn't endure it. If they would say anything attacking who I am, my character, my dignity, or whatever, I would blow up like a bomb. Because, see, they've brought this corruption, debacle, debasedness on this nation. I'm concerned about Trump. So what do you mean? His pride. His pride scares me. He took God's name in vain and told that businessman, if I'm not reelected, you'll be blankety-blank poorer than you've ever been. You see, Nebuchadnezzar made the same type of a statement. You see, God can raise you up today to do one thing and pull you down tomorrow because you did the wrong thing. God gave Israel a king, Saul, but it wasn't long until God brought him down. It scares me that arrogancy and pride, Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. Do you think people in Congress have that disposition? Think of the scripture I just quoted, Proverbs 8:13. It is a scary, scary thought. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride. Proverbs 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. I watched the four bulldogs of the apocalypse. These congressional representatives, Omar, Cortez, Tlaib, and Presley. Yeah, they're the four bulldogs of the apocalypse. The Bible said in the last days, Isaiah 3:12, children would oppress and women would rule. What you're witnessing, what you're seeing demonstrated vividly, not deceptively, but vividly, you're witnessing the spirit of Jezebel. It has exploded. It has exploded. Being a man is condescended today. If you're a man, they talk down to you that your masculinity is abhorrent. God gave men masculinity. A man is built physically totally different than a woman. Man has wide shoulders. A woman has wide hips. There's a reason for that. The strength in a man is in his upper body. The woman's hips are designed to have offspring. There's a reason for everything that God does and how he designed. I was thinking the other day, every living human being has a mouth, a nose, two eyes, two ears, lips. Yet we all look totally different. Who but God could orchestrate such a phenomenon as every time in procreation we see the vast difference in our appearances? Now, there's that old cliche, everybody has their twin. Okay, let's say we all have a twin somewhere. But out of 7 billion people, everyone has a different feature that's not like the next person's? Who but God in his sovereignty could conceive genetically in a cellular mindset and way to create in and through procreation? Everybody has the same organs, yet everybody looks totally different. Stature, build, height, weight, eye color, hair color, everything. Everything is different. And yet, we just came crawling out of some pond like some tadpole. Absolutely cynical. Absolutely cynical. But that's what pride does. We're smarter than God. God's ignorant. And then there are those who don't even believe there is a God. And then there are the hypocrites who say, I pray, but they don't live right. They honor God with their mouth. They honor God with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. It's amazing, isn't it? Isn't it amazing when you look at creation and these buffoons, these idiots, these whatever they are, they're like they're soulless. Have the unmitigated gall to challenge the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? That's stupid. That shows you how Satan has brainwashed the world. That's why contrition, compunction, humility. As Steve Quill has said many, many times, he put some dirt in a saucer, put it on his desk to remind himself, that is who you are, pal. That is who you are. Just dirt. Just dirt. And somehow, we get arrogant, we get puffed up, we become self-righteous. And preachers don't want to tell the people, they don't want to tell the congregation, you are depraved so terribly. And the only way you can be made whole is through redemption and the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul understood his depravity. He did not balk. He did not castigate God. He understood his wretchedness. Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? O wretched man that I am. Wretchedness. Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Paul said, my flesh, there's no good thing in it. Yes, somehow we want to believe, we want to perceive. There's something good in us. Now, admittedly, America has been renowned for times of calamity, tragedy, coming together, giving a helping hand, and serving one another and helping. That's the way it should be all the time. That should be the disposition all the time. But instead, it's greed, it's lust, it's covetousness, it's things that personify evil. Evil is running rampant in this nation. So many people today are in total opposition to truth. They don't want to hear it. They don't appreciate the truth. And did you know the truth is the only thing that sets men free? Education doesn't free people. Knowledge does not free people in the context of man's knowledge. John 8:32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When man hears the truth from God's word, and God's word declares a man is lost, he's undone, he's fallen, he's depraved, and man says, I repent, I'm sorry for my sin, then restoration begins, redemption begins, and man sees who he really was and is. But he's set free because he embraced the reality and the truth that God conveyed to him. Did you catch the article, the news just some weeks ago, about the transgender priest? The Catholic priest who went into transgender mode and demonically transformed himself into a woman, yet he professed, but God is still with me. With him, she, her, or an it. This lets you understand. This lets you see the depravity of man. When a man is a man, sexually, physically, in every sense of the word, says he's a man of God, now he turns himself into a transgender, I suppose he's declaring, I'm a woman of God now. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. What kind of works do you think that is, saying, I've been changed, I've been transformed into a woman? Dude, where's your uterus? You're not a woman. Where's your ovaries? You're not a woman. You got mammary glands? You can breastfeed now? You say, Pastor, that's comical. That's funny. It's cynical. I'll tell you what it is. It's depravity. It's depravity. You're not that. You can say that you are. You can have, what is it, gender transforming surgery, I forget the exact medical term, gender assignment. God gave you that when you were born. Soon as the child comes from the womb, the doctor says, you got a little girl, you got a little boy. Now with ultrasound, now they can tell you before the child's even born. What you got? What you got? You got a little girl. Well, you got a little boy. Why? Anatomically, they're totally different. And I would never, whether it be a court of law, in a congressional hearing, wherever, and they say, you must call that woman a man. I'm not going to lie for them. I'm not going to do it. That's what you call being brainwashed. You're not going to make me profess and confess your lies as truth. Can't do it. That's how I turn into a reprobate. That's how I become apostate. By believing what you say when what you say is a lie. Hitler said, tell a lie often enough, you'll begin to believe it yourself. You'll begin to believe it yourself. Let me ask you, what kind of dedication, what kind of consecration, what kind of separation do you think this purported Catholic priest has and possesses when he wakes up one day and says, well, no, I'm not a man anymore, I'm a woman? Yeah, in consecration and pursuing and seeking the face, the counsel of God, God told him that. That's a lie straight out of hell. God didn't tell him that. God don't do that. You see, that's the hostilities, the animosity, the enmity of the mind towards God. Now, God, I'm telling you, I'm not a woman, I'm a man. You understand me, God? All God's got to do is say, hey, pal, look at your anatomical makeup. God is not blind. God is not deceived. God cannot be manipulated because God is not a man. The Bible said in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? Notice what Moses said, God is not a man. Why? That's why God can't lie. There's nothing about God that is erroneous, mendacious, fallacious. God is absolute truth. God does not change his word. God does not alter his word. Whatever God has said, that's it. God is bound by his own word. That's why as Christians, we believe in the sovereign will of God for our lives. We know that God is in every molecule, every neutron, proton, electron, every nucleus, every atom. God is in everything. We don't understand that. God can merely think the thought, and the eastern wind in the area of the Red Sea begins to blow and blow the waters back, and they're congealed, and they make dry ground for Israel to cross over on. Then when the Egyptians' army got into the Red Sea, the lug nuts, whatever they were held on, the wheels, carter pans, whatever they were holding them on with, the wheels begin to come off. Because God can do anything. And God does what is always right. Now, from man's perspective, it may not appear to be the right thing at the time. We've all gone through circumstance. We've gone through situations where we said, this is not right. I don't see God in this. I don't know how God could get glory out of this. But then somewhere down the road, you see clearly that what God allowed to transpire, what God allowed to take place, was for the best. Now, There'll be those of you who say, well, what about when somebody dies or something evil happens? Well, wait a minute. You just said it. Evil. Sin. See, even though God is in everything, God gives men free choice. Man has always had free choice. Even angels have free choice. That wouldn't be liberty. That wouldn't be freedom. That would not be who God is if God made people slaves and servants to Him. We are slaves, bond slaves, and servant to Jesus because we want to serve Him. We want to worship Him. We want to magnify Him. Again, we're talking about the depravity of man, the hostilities, and the enmity that's in a man's mind. As I said, an undeveloped mind of an infant child is already hostile and has enmity against God, even though they're unaware of it. But just as soon as they become aware of things, they begin to do things. Like they say, you know what, if I cry, Mama's going to hold me all the time. I remember when the kids were little, at the grocery store, hold me, pick me up and hold me, I'm tired. They're younger than you are, more fragile than you are, more hyper energy than you have, and they want you to hold them. And in your love and pity, you pick them up and you hold them. A baby learns that early on. If I cry, Mama will pick me up and cuddle me and feed me. I know what to do now. See, they're already learning manipulation. Where does that come from? It's there even though the mind is not fully developed. It's there. It exists. It exists because it's in our loins. And that's why only the blood of Jesus Christ can change that nature. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can change that nature because that nature is in your blood. It's in your DNA. It's in your cellular makeup. It's there. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Satan never appeals to your spirit. Satan always appeals to your flesh. God appeals to your spirit. And of course, the spirit and the flesh are always in opposition one to the other. Galatians 5 and 16, Paul said, this I say then, walk in the spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You want to do what's right. But see, that carnal Adamic nature says, I don't want to do that. I want to go this way. How many people have treadmills, elliptical machines in their house, and you walk in and they got pants and clothes and bathrobes and everything hung on them? It's not a hanger. It's an instrument to work out. But when you see it, your flesh says, you don't want to do that. But you say, I need the discipline. I need to take care of my body. But see, the flesh says, no. So the flesh is weak in the sense it's weak, though it is truly strong because it dominates the person's will. The mind says, the spirit says, you need to do that. The flesh says, oh, you don't want to do that. You don't want to go there. The mind says, you need some discipline. You need some restraint. The flesh says, no, you don't need that. You don't want to go there. And we so easily capitulate, we so easily surrender to the flesh. I know I need to pray. I know I need to read my Bible. I need to fast some. Flesh says, you don't want to do that. See, that's that enmity. That's that hostility toward God. In other words, the flesh says, you don't want to be godly. You don't want to be godly. You don't want to get closer to God. The closer you get to God, the more demands are made on your life. I thought we are supposed to be serving the Lord. Tithing and giving is a part of service. Flesh says, you don't want to do that. From the time a child is born till they die, their hands are always grabbing and grasping and pulling and desiring and wanting. Then the day comes when they are deceased. The hands are then laid flat on the bosom of their chest in a casket. No grabbing, no grasping, no clenching, no pointing, no pulling, no shouting. The race has been run. Question is, did you finish the race with joy? I love Acts 20:22, where Paul said, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bond and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the grace, the gospel of God. Notice the phrase, that I might finish my course with joy. That tells you something. Paul was not done. He had not reached his zenith, his pinnacle, relative to God's will for his life. So he says, that I might finish my course with joy. Now we go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all them also that love his appearing. In Acts 20, he says, that I might finish my course with joy. 2 Timothy 4, 7, I have finished my course with joy. He finished. He finished, he fulfilled, he completed what God had ordained for his life. So, before this point in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's declaring, I want to finish with joy. I want to finish with joy. How did he finish? He finished his course. And he said, I kept the faith. If you keep the faith, your faith will keep you. You lose the faith, you'll lose your soul. This is what Paul said would happen in the last days. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. There are people I used to hear from regularly in this ministry. I don't hear from them anymore. I often wonder, did they hold on? Did they backslide? Did they fall into a snare? Did they fall into a trap? Did they quit fighting the fight of faith? What did they do? 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold to eternal life. Take hold. Seize it. Grab it. Grasp it. Get a hold of it, Paul said. Don't turn it loose. The devil will try to snatch it out of your hand. Don't relinquish it. Don't turn it loose. Embrace it. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. How will you finish? Will you endure? Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Will you endure unto the end? Will you be saved? You say, well, I'm already saved. Yes, theoretically. But first, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says, Paul's talking to Timothy, he said, do thy diligence to come unto me shortly, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas was once a man of God. He didn't finish. He didn't keep the faith. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Notice the phrase present world, meaning this world is temporal. You're going to pass from this world into another world. You're going to pass. He said, Demas forsook me. I suppose in theory I've had people to forsake me. They'll start off loving you. They'll start off supporting you. But then 6 months to a year down the road, you say something they don't like and they turn on you. Jesus said to his disciples, will you also go away? Hey, listen, folks. If Jesus lost followers, I know I will lose people in the pilgrimage. They'll quit. They'll fall by the wayside. They'll know if they listen to me, they're going to be convicted about something in their life. They knew God didn't want them to have this. And so to get the conviction off of their life, they abandon God. They get what they want in the flesh. Jesus said it like this in Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? What are you willing to exchange your soul for? You know that extramarital affair, that's wrong. But you'd rather have that and at the end of the day than to have Jesus. So you go ahead and gratify your flesh and you go that path. You go that wicked way. Because if it's not God's way, it is a wicked way. You go that way. And I hate to say this. You go the way of the wicked, you will pay the price of the wicked. Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God. You say that's crass, that's hard. I didn't say that. That's the word of God. Isaiah 55 and 6 says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and he will abundantly pardon. God pardons sin. Why? When a judge pardons somebody, they don't pay a penalty. They don't pay a penalty. They don't pay anything because they've been pardoned. Jesus pardoned your sins when he was on the cross. Let him return to the Lord. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. In other words, God will multiply the pardon in your life toward your sin. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep praying for our president, for our nation. Uncertainty, my friend, is in the air, to say the least. Have a good evening. God bless you.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.